Well, I've been talking about it on and off for a while, and now the time has come. This is the last episode of this podcast. It's my unconventional life, forever. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is my unconventional life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it's an examination of what happened when I tried to love and be a parent outside of society's norms. But most of all, hopefully, it's an honest, unapologetic, and insightful journey into my genuine desire to be my most authentic, peaceful, and positive self in the world. Sponsored by no one. Every week, I detail my own journey as a parenting partner, a lover, and a friend. And occasionally discuss my untraditional views and aspirations with other people too. Ultimately though, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in the world today? I just had the realization earlier today. It had occurred to me earlier this week when I did someone else's podcast and there were a number of things that I couldn't talk about on it for a number of reasons. And I realized that if I couldn't be fully open about my life, about my situation, then what's the point? I mean, it's just gone so far from what I envisioned, from what I hoped. This podcast and the life that I'd hoped to live too. It started off, I thought, as an interesting conversation about love, about monogamy, about sex and parenting, hosted by someone who felt passionately about his viewpoints that had come from years of work that he'd done on himself, that he was proud of, and felt genuinely could have a positive effect on the world if adopted, even in small part. That non-monogamy, consensual, open non-monogamy, was a valid, possible, wonderful way of truly being yourself. Perhaps better for the world as a whole. Probably. That having a child with a platonic parenting partner was a more effective, productive way of having children, dispensing with a lot of the issues inherent in a traditional, insular, monogamous family dynamic. And the truth is, I still do believe those things. But I, alas, feel that I've failed to be an example of them. Instead, I feel I become an example of the exact issues that I wanted to avoid. I don't know. And that's the point. I feel now that this podcast has become a melancholic, passive memoir about a life that veered way off track and someone struggling to keep the train moving. I had belief and hope and opportunity when I started to make the right choices, to not settle, to live by my world views. And one could make an argument that certainly as far as a parenting partnership goes, I fucked up. I mean, that's not to say that I'm doomed or that I regret having my daughter. On the contrary, every moment with her is a joy, an ebullient experience. But the problems that I'd feared and foretold, I became an example of them. seems ironic, perhaps, that in trying to avoid certain things, I became a poster for them. Perhaps. Again, I'm not sure what, in the big picture, this all means. And perhaps that's my point. I'm too close to it. I can't talk openly about it. I'm not in a good headspace, nor do I have the time and or desire to really document it anymore. And if that's the case, why bother? Plus, the computer that I do this on every week is on its last legs. Perhaps it's telling me something too. It's tired of hearing the same old shit each week. So I just want to tell this story up to now, as I did in the first episode. I don't want you to look at it as a failure, maybe just a lesson, that life can't be controlled sometimes, and that no matter what your goals and intentions, your hopes and dreams, you're only 50% of the equation. Yes, you can make choices and decisions. I made some bad ones. But also, human emotions are complex. Conflicts arise that, unless you're a complete sociopath, are sometimes impossible to cleanly resolve. I still have hope. There are signs of it, like tiny green buds or shoots after a nuclear holocaust. Perhaps that's a little melodramatic. I know, I've always had somewhat of a flair for the sensational. But my daughter's mother and I went to see the family therapist this week, and we rehashed everything that got us to where we are today, and I'll detail shortly herein, which was a little emotional. But there were some concessions made, and I felt a sense of hope with them, and hope with the future, if we can continue to go. And not for nothing, even outside of that, it does feel that things are slowly starting to ease up. I still feel a strong sense of anxiety regarding my daughter's mother's negative reactions to my actions from history. But as they calm down and lose their frequency, and instead there are positive ones and wonderful experiences, like taking Amy to the park to play on the swings or playground, or watching her scoot around the kitchen in her wheelie walker, it does seem like things could be closer to the ideal that we'd originally imagined. I don't know why, but it feels almost like the end of the Empire Strikes Back. And that's not a good analogy, because of the sentiment at the end of that movie, but perhaps it's based on the knowledge of what will happen in Return of the Jedi. Maybe in time I'll write a book about all this. A book about love in all its myriad machinations. Be that as it may, as I said, I'm not in a good place, I feel, to continue this. I'm still experiencing a lot of anxiety. But I have been listening to the first season of the Serial podcast this week, which I think has made me feel way more anxious too, because I really have a trouble hearing about things like murder. Speaking of death, loose segue, I know. I got my living trust, power of attorney, and last will and testament notarized and hence made legal this week, which was a little anxiety-producing too. For those of you who've been able to read between the lines, I've started dating someone that I really like, experiencing some real joy, while creating other internal discussions too. And so this is where things stand. And this is how they got here. When I began this podcast in May of 2016. I just checked. Wow, nearly 3 years ago, my views and my desires were perfectly clear. I wanted to be openly non-monogamous, and I wanted to have a child with a platonic parenting partner. I'd dipped my toe into the non-monogamous water, but not any great depth. I felt that I still had a long journey of exploration to take. And I tried to do that with limited success before the other desire intervened dramatically. I'd been on a couple of parenting partnership websites for at least a couple of years by that point, I think. I'd met a handful of girls, maybe, but only two that were really worth a discussion, neither of which panned out because ultimately there were sticking points that stopped things moving forward. I certainly didn't settle for the first reasonable person to come along. Being a guy, I didn't have such a strong biological clock ticking, but more so, I'd actually just resolved that if it didn't happen, if I didn't meet someone who was a good fit, and I had a checklist of 17 things that I specifically wanted in a parenting partner, then so be it, and I wouldn't be a parent. I was very happy pursuing an openly non-monogamous life. Not for the amount of sex that I was getting, which, to be honest, was always a struggle, but for the feeling of being my true, authentic self for once, for being free. And that was better than having a child with the wrong person, in a bad situation. Hindsight is a funny thing. But truthfully, given what I knew at the time, I do think I made the right decision. The wrong decisions came later, perhaps. I met my daughter's mother in January of 2017. We met at one of my favourite coffee shops at the time, and she seemed sweet and to have a strong, well-thought-out plan to be a parent. She had a good career, apparently had some money saved, and a good setup in terms of owning her house. And she seemed to not want too heavy of a financial or time investment. She just wanted her child to know its father. And she was open to me being a more invested parent too. We spent the next 5 or so months spending a lot of time together to make sure we were on the same page and could get along. We began to hammer out a contract pertaining to everything from finances to schooling to healthcare to diet. There were things that, in hindsight, we could have gone into a lot more detail about, using vague terms about my time spent with a child, for example. But that was because we didn't really know what that would look like once the child was born. We had agreed that were we to move forward, we would try to conceive via natural insemination to save money, yet had been clear in the contract that any expectations or obligations of a romantic nature, well, there weren't to be any. But I think the first mistake that I made was allowing the relationship to move in a sexual direction before we tried to conceive. It began with my daughter's mother being adamant that I should ejaculate every second day to have the best quality of sperm. I explained that I didn't really have the desire to do that, and she volunteered to help. I expressed concern about crossing that line, and she assured me that she could separate the two things. Then the notion occurred to me that if we were going to have sex to try to conceive, it would be prudent to have sex before to make sure that it didn't complicate things emotionally, so that if it did, it would happen before we conceived a child and were bound to each other for the next 18 years. Well, the rest of our lives. And it seemed not to. As we began spending more time together, meeting each other's families and going to events together, we seemed to almost become de facto boyfriend and girlfriend. And there was never a discussion of it beyond that. But the fact that I was non-monogamous was paramount. And her comfort with that gave me great confidence and developed emotions, you could certainly call it love, that made me feel more comfortable moving forward. And friends suggested that perhaps I could have both the parenting partnership and non-monogamous relationship with the same person. And so I went along with that. But that was the beginning of the downfall. Now, I've made detailed notes of the conflicts that came up as they happened. When I didn't go into them on here for the sake of privacy at the time, with an idea that I'd go into them in details at a later date. But to be honest, I don't want to. Instead, I'll just summarise with the request that you bear in mind that these are just my recollections, backed up by my notes perhaps, of events that other people, my daughter's mother especially, may see very differently. When we got to the stage of signing the contract, and you can listen to that on here too, in the podcast for that week, we had a discussion of sexual exclusivity again in regards to sexual health. While we had been open about my non-monogamy, we hadn't been brutally open in the sense of I didn't tell her every time and instance, but as we moved forward, we decided to do just that. And when she asked about the details of the prior 5 months, the facts kind of unsettled her. Yet while she expressed a sense of jealousy, perfectly natural, she never asked or even implied that I should stop seeing other people. But I just felt uneasy and uncomfortable about making the potential mother of my child full of those negative emotions and hormones. And so I suggested, as much for sexual health, since we were going to be having unprotected sex to try to conceive, that until we did, I wouldn't have sex with anyone else. And I felt like it wasn't a big issue, that I could still date and make out and express my love for the feminine. I wasn't giving up who I authentically was. But then those things soon became an issue too, raising the same feelings with my daughter's mother. So again, I felt pressured to concede those too. So predictably, unfortunately, soon after she got pregnant on the second attempt, i.e. the second ovulation, I realized deep down that this wasn't who I was, that I'd made concessions that I didn't feel comfortable with, that this wasn't the agreement or the relationship that I wanted, that I hadn't upheld my boundaries, yet to do so now felt callous and cold to the pregnant mother of my child. People told me to just wait 9 months, that she would be fine then. But other people told me she might not. It could be a year, or years, or never. I expressed my concerns to her. And to be fair, again, she never told me not to do what I wanted to do. But if I had to be with other people, to just do it. But that wasn't the answer. It would have arguably just eased one conflict, only to create another. It would have made dating anyone else totally unpalatable anyway. The truth was, it didn't matter either way. Pandora's proverbial box had been opened, and the serpents had been unleashed. As I struggled with this, my daughter's mother of course, felt me pulling back and struggled with her own feelings of rejection and potential abandonment. The real cracks, for me, began when she changed her expectations about the financial part of the contract. And the time expectations too. Now these were perhaps born of the understandable fears and anxieties of being pregnant. But either way, they soon sent our relationship spiraling down. I felt duped, tricked. I lost trust in our agreement. And it caused me to pull away even more, which of course caused her to try to cling on to even more. More, bigger financial requests. And words, comments that you can't ever take back. She actually said before she got pregnant that we should perhaps split up, in quotation marks, because she was going to say some things that she didn't mean that could really make me hate her, and could I perhaps understand that? And at the time I had assured her that I would. But I had no idea what she meant. That those things would include dramatic expectations, changes to the contract that she stuck to and emotionally pressured, and hurtful, mean insults to the extent that I won't even mention them in any detail. That the sexual nature of our relationship would become such a contention that at times I'd feel on the verge of suicide. Well, perhaps that's not fair. Perhaps hopeless, desperate despair, worse than any that I'd ever felt in my life, would be truer. And I found myself in largely the exact worst situation that I'd wanted to avoid. And the financial disagreements continued and escalated to threats of legal action, discounting large portions of the original contract, rendering it pretty much useless. And even to this day, we still have conflicts, even after filing a specific child support agreement with the courts. For me, it's all about not honouring your original word. For her, I guess, it's about not being open to change. The truth, most likely, is somewhere in the middle. You could say that letting the relationship become sexual and then romantic was the real issue. But perhaps the money issue would have come up anyway. Maybe not. I do think we'd have been better able to negotiate it more clearly if it had. But I don't know that. In hindsight, I'm not sure what value there is in that, other than as a lesson to others, which was one of the main reasons for doing this podcast. In hindsight, I should have kept it non-sexual completely. I should have stood my ground and said, if there are problems with my sperm, we'll deal with it then. I should have realized that having sex once a month to impregnate her was way less likely to create emotion than all the time, like we did. So it wasn't a valid test. And I should have known legally what would happen were she to change her mind about what she wanted. I did find out eventually, but by then it was too late. I've said it before, I don't think we were wrong to have a child together necessarily. I'm still on the fence about the money situation, but she is a brilliant, devoted mum who raises our child selflessly, when my schedule at times makes it very hard for me to be of much help. Which is why, in principle, I wouldn't have been concerned making more of a financial contribution than we originally discussed, if it had been discussed. But because of the conflicts that escalated to some of the most soul-wrenching moments of my life, I've had a few, Our relationship and any communication just broke down completely. And I felt anxious and miserable nearly all of the time. And it meant that any discussion of a second child that we had originally both agreed would be good for Amelia in theory had to be scratched. And any sense of a happy, comfortable, platonic relationship seemed impossible too. Which is why I suggested going to the family therapist. To try to somehow find out how we can move forward in the best way for our daughter when so much of our original plan has gone up in flames. Perhaps I'm being melodramatic again. Perhaps this is no different than any normal relationship that ends, like divorced parents. Except it's not like that. We never got married. We weren't in a normal relationship. I specifically wanted to avoid that. But maybe that's, like the saying goes, that the universe doesn't understand don't. And if you say, I don't want something, it just hears that something and manifests it. I don't really believe that. I just think I made some bad choices. And as a result, unfortunately, mine is not a good example of a parenting partnership. While I am only now just starting to get back into the dating world, I am far from any example of non-monogamy either. Which is fine. All I want now is to be happy. Or rather at peace. I want to raise my daughter as best I can. To give her everything I can. To let her feel loved and supported and free. I wanted this podcast to be an example for people considering similar things. And I'm gutted to think that it might be, but in a negative way. Perhaps not. Perhaps the negative stuff can help others avoid it. I've seen in my professional life how cruel twists of fate can inspire. Maybe there can be something like that here too. Look, we have a beautiful, healthy, wonderful daughter that we love dearly. We are beginning to try to re-piece together some kind of relationship to co-parent her. Time may not heal all wounds, but it may let the scars soften. And in time, maybe our parenting partnership could develop into something wholly positive. It's not impossible. I have a great job and the opportunity to love, to have sex, to rebuild my life the way that I want. I have much to be immensely thankful for. It's time to move on to the next chapter of my life. Before I do that, I want to thank everyone that's listened to this over the past 2 or so years. To the few people who've come up to me and told me how much they appreciated it and what they took away from it. And I hope that I'm not letting them down now. I hope people will still try to lead unconventional lives. Full of hope and daring. While I feel the podcast has run its course, the ideas that I began it with certainly have not. I am still contactable through the email myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com or just as easy on social media. I'm just closing the last page of this book. And for once, I won't. See you next week. Well, that's another week gone. And everyone, a blessing. Every day, every moment. So, I appreciate you spending any of yours listening to this. Wherever you are, and whoever you are with. Be kind to yourself, and to others, is perhaps the simplest way to make this world a better place. Hello.